Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Oh, yeah, it is the moment you have been waiting for.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
Andy's out. Ryan and Brad are in.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
This is the Manny Fry Show.
And I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. Got a couple more hours together. And man, do I enjoy this time we get together. And Brad, you do such a fantastic job. I want to thank you for making it so easy. I really, you deserve that recognition.
Well, thank you for that.
So on the YouTube page, the polling, how's it going? That kind of rhymed a little.
Well, let me see.
It's almost like a rap song. The polling, how's it going? We used to have someone call into my late night show named Jerome. He'd make raps for us on the fly. And I would say I'm not as good as Jerome. Maybe I can get him to do another one sometime.
We got 122 votes on it right now. So we're doing pretty good as far as that goes. I can't really see what the breakdown is just yet. But 124 now votes in the YouTube live chat poll.
And what's the question?
The question today is, are you a conspiracy theorist? Yes or no? Very simple. Now, I know Ryan mentioned, you mentioned earlier, you want to hear people's wildest, most crazy, outlandish conspiracy theories. You don't have to subscribe to them, or you can, but we would just like to hear your conspiracy theories.
I want to hear some fun ones, too. I almost want to make up some conspiracy theories on the fly. Like, what is there a good Ryan Wiggins conspiracy theory we can start?
Ryan Wiggins is actually 6'7".
And he, what, how does he hide it? He just like basically has a bad spine.
It's all camera angles. It's all camera angles.
All right. If you want to start that one, go ahead and go to the YouTube page and do that now. All right. Elon Musk, not happy with the big, beautiful bill. I don't think this is the reason why he was breaking away from Doge. I think that was just coming to a natural end. But nonetheless, Elon Musk drops the bomb on the big, beautiful bill. That's what a lot of people are saying. They're using that wording. Let's listen to one of the clips from that. So this is clip number 2.
So, you know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful, but I don't know if it can be both. My personal opinion.
It's a good way to put it. It could be big or it could be beautiful. It can't be both. I kind of agree with him on that. And I know there's a lot of Republicans that feel the same way, Rand Paul being one of them. And I look at guys like Rand Paul in moments like this and say, what do you do? And I know that Rand Paul is like this, and I know Donald Trump pointed that out. He basically said he complains a lot, but he doesn't put a lot of solutions up. That's basically what Donald Trump said about Rand Paul, which is a fair assumption too. But Rand Paul's not wrong. And this is upsetting a lot of people right now, including someone that specifically sidestepped his other obligations, which he's got a lot. And he wanted to help the country and fix some of these financial obligations we have that we really shouldn't. And he did, I think, for the most part, a very admirable job accomplishing something that I think went even beyond some people's expectations. But here we are saying that the only thing that we need to do is essentially take some of these cuts and then spend by X fold above that in hopes that the cuts keep coming. So you think Elon Musk is wrong, Brad? Do you think there's anything that he said there that the bill could be big or it could be beautiful, but it can't be both?
I don't necessarily agree with him in this situation. I agree with the premise that he wants more cuts. I am 100% on board with that. As I'm looking at what's going on with the big, beautiful bill and congressional rules and stuff like that, the big, beautiful bill was a reconciliation bill, and somehow or another, the congressional rules do not allow them to cut already appropriated spending in this rescission or in this bill. So they couldn't put could not codify DOGE cuts in this bill. However, they can do it through a rescissions process, and that actually has the exact same threshold in the Senate as a majority plus one.
Right. You know. Well, that's good. I mean, they can get some of these things done, but let's say you put a bill together. Do you have to really add on extra on top of that in hopes that the rescission process will make up for the other things that you had on the other side? And that's where the trust factor comes in. And I just don't trust that they're going to be fiscally responsible enough to make the most of these cuts in order to offset some of these other things that are being added.
The problem with it is there are people that are all for cuts for other people's stuff.
Yeah.
And they're not for cuts on their own people's stuff. And so whenever they get into this, they're like, we should cut. We should definitely do cutting. So they're not lying. We should cut. We definitely believe we should cut. But don't cut my pet projects.
Right.
That'll hurt me in my home district. And so then what you end up with is this sort of spending bill, because what you have are people that are more afraid of, you know, not winning re-election than they are of actually doing what's right for for the country. The problem also is on the other side of that is if somebody loses, it usually flips the seat to the other party. And you know which party is not worried about cutting government spending?
That's exactly
They are actually huge fans of it. You know, the tax and spend. I see it in the chat. I see it on Twitter. I see it on X. I see it everywhere. They're like, why can't we just tax billionaires more? Well, A, there's not enough money for it. B, there's like, just because they have more money doesn't mean they should be taxed at a higher rate. That's not moral. You know, equal flat tax is what would be moral. That's what is the line? Fair share?
Yeah, but I think what a lot of those people are advocating is that not only, it's not so much the taxing side, but they want to be able to recoup some of their wealth by taking their assets away. Because a lot of these billionaires, their money, their worth is tied into the thing they created, the company, whatever it may be. If you're Elon Musk, you got a lot of stock in Tesla and these other operations. If you're Bezos and Amazon, you got a lot of Amazon stock. And keep in mind, when their wealth is calculated, it's taken into consideration their ownership stake inside of these very valuable properties. Now, the people that are talking about these things, they say, oh, tax the billionaires. What they're advocating is that you go in and say you're not allowed to own that much wealth, meaning your ownership into that company. We need to take some of that away from you in terms of we want to take your property away from you, your stake, your ownership into your own company. That's what they're advocating for in order to try to make up for some of this, which is absolutely scary. And it doesn't surprise me that these billionaires like Bezos move to places like Florida where they can save some of that income when they start withdrawing some of the money that is theirs to begin with.
Go ahead. The fundamental disagreement on this whole billionaires thing is people look at billionaires and say, well, they have so much that they certainly didn't get that in any legal fashion. Therefore, we should take it from them because what they did was unfair. And I look at it and go, these guys are just really good at what they did. I mean, Bezos started Amazon in his garage with his wife.
Yeah.
And he's grown it into what it is.
Help me with this Medicare, Medicaid stuff that's going on in some of these ways. All right, so this is what you're seeing, the big pushes right now when it comes to the bill, is that there's going to be all these cuts in Medicare. And, you know, going back to what Remy song on Reason TV is, people are going to die. Like, that's essentially what all these governors and many different Democrats right now are just going through the same thing over and over again. Let me make sure I'm getting this correctly, because I might be looking at this wrong. You have pre-pandemic money, meaning the way the states would cover these programs inside the state. Pandemic hit, you had a big influx of federal money going to the states in order to try to fight COVID and some of these other things. This is money that was generally pumped into these programs because they thought it was necessary through this national emergency. States continued getting this money well after the COVID was over. And now they became so reliant on this federal money that they spent the money that they would have been putting into these programs other places. And now when the federal government says, we're going to go back to you covering what the state has always covered in the past, now they're saying, well, you're going to take away from us something that was given to us on a temporary basis. Thus, it's you're the reason why people are going to die if it's not funded. Is that essentially what's going on here?
Yeah, more or less.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody's looking at it like just exactly what you said.
So the way that they're wrapping this up, and again, they're doing the if you just want people to die mentality and the way that they're trying to phrase this. But I think what this goes into is you're realizing the big budgets that a lot of these states have in the past 4 years, 5 years. If you look at state budgets, in almost every state's like this, all the influx of the federal money allowed the states to spend money in different ways, and their budgets just exploded because they had this money to spend. And we're going to put it on all these projects that we've always wanted. But on top of that, they're going to put it into all this pork that they didn't actually need to begin with. So all of a sudden, it's time to say, okay, this temporary money is going to go. You're going to have to go back to the way it was, or you're going to have to find different ways to fund it. And they're blaming Donald Trump because of it. And this is very irresponsible, number one. But number two, they were irresponsible in their spending from the get-go, the way that they were throwing this money around, because they were basically told use it or lose it. So they were just using it anything they can possibly use it on that they can try to justify was COVID-related. And now they've spent like drunken sailors. They don't want to go back to trying to be somewhat responsible. They want the federal government to keep pumping money into the coffers so they can keep spending irresponsibly.
Yeah.
Is that what's happening? Am I looking at this incorrectly? Maybe people in the comments could tell me I'm wrong here. But this is, to me, it's like I can kind of see through this. Maybe I'm just not seeing it straight, but I'm seeing through what their argument is right now on the Democrat side.
Yeah.
let's go back to the reconciliations. Not the reconciliation. What's it called?
Rescissions.
Rescissions, yes. One of the first big ones, asking Congress to pull $9 billion in funding for NPR, PBS, and let's play some of that. I think that is clip number, is it two? Let me double check here real quick. Yeah, the clip number one, rather. And this is them discussing what's in this bill.
Good morning, Bill. It's a spending reduction request. DOGE fell well short of its goal of $1 trillion in cuts, but now the administration will send lawmakers a request to cancel spending already approved. Congress must greenlight the cuts for them to become official. Money for PBS, NPR, and USAID are in the crosshairs. Due to budget rules, Republicans could not stuff deep spending cuts into the big, beautiful bill.
Get it going.
Yeah.
Should have started this. Why is it taking you so long? If you would have done this a month ago, we would have seen some progress, and maybe it would have been a little bit easier to swallow some of the big, beautiful bill, you know, because that means they're serious about cutting.
I like the idea of these rescissions packages, though. What was this one? $9 point something billion. And it was,
right,
you know, 9.4, I think, is what the headline I'm seeing says. But I think these are wins. I think when you look at this and you say, we're going to cut and we're going to cut and we're going to vote exactly on what we're cutting, then people, what you can't look at this and say is, oh, they're cutting Medicaid. Oh, they're cutting this. Oh, they're cutting that. We're cutting these things. This is the bill. The bills will be short. And then it's a simple majority. I think this is a big win for Congress if they can get these going.
Yeah, it would be a win. In fact, it would have been a bigger win if they would have started this a month or two ago. It would have been so much better if it would have started earlier, because...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Even like, what was Doge, 120 days or whatever, the 100 days. So essentially, if they would have looked at this and said, okay, in good faith, we're going to start this right now, and then the next one would have been happening, and then the next one after that. So we would have been a little bit further down the line, as opposed to waiting right now when we're right in the middle of these talks trying to justify some of these extra spending, to what we're going to offset it with. So rescission is something that's going to, I think, going to be Republicans' best friend here soon if they can continue to do this. Can you fight rescissions in court? What happens with our Democrats if they lose the vote?
I don't think that they can. I think you're passing it through Congress and the president is signing it. You just need to make sure, A, that you do it the way that you're supposed to do it. I think it has to come from the White House to Congress. The White House has to say, we want to request these cuts.
And you know what? Why not have just a special appearance from Donald Trump when they just read the vote and just get him out there to sign it immediately? He'll be up. Don't worry if it goes into a late night session. So let's say that happens. And by the way, I'm for these. I think these are necessary. And I don't remember if we talked about this, but like with NPR and PBS, for example, as broadcast entities, we're a broadcast entity too. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of boggled my mind. I thought, why is the government giving money to these entities that are like our competition, but we get such hassled all the time? Like, we have to go lobby Congress in order for them to advocate on our behalf to get AM radios to stay in vehicles, so our industry doesn't shrink because they're just eliminating radios left and right. And the way that one of the reasons why the people that wanted them eliminated is because there's a lot of conservative talk on AM radio. I truly believe that. So I look at that and I say, we have to go out there and advocate for our industry, but these guys are just getting federal money. They're not, what are they doing? They're advocating for themselves because they want more money to come in through their donors. So why should they be put on a pedestal when we have to be out here scrounging for our next meal, as Bob Dylan said?
Yeah.
So, you know, why do they just get the federal money? So let them continue to fund the way they want to fund. If it's going to be a nonprofit way and ask for donations, let them keep doing that. Just don't have to give the government money into it as well.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think that PBS, NPR, I don't think any of those places need that government money. And we kind of talked about this with other situations. I think what you end up seeing is whenever you stop getting the government gravy train, you find out you have to start making a product that people want. And you if you don't, then your product goes away. Your company stops. So
gravy train.
Yeah. So you don't need the government supporting you. Go make it on your own. You don't need government subsidized radio. You don't need government subsidized television.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the content that's put in there, sometimes it's counterproductive to what the United States values would be, in the sense that I remember listening to NPR talk programming, and I just couldn't believe how slanted one-sided it was to the left. And it's always been that way. And I thought, okay, so you have your obvious opinion to do these things, but part of it is that these broadcast entities are able to express themselves freely without the government intruding on you, because we're not accepting any money from the government. But if you're accepting money from the government and you, whoever it may be, then you're at the will of them pulling the money away from you. It's like that. And I guess commercial advertising too. If I were to go out here and trash talk our sponsors, they would leave us too. So you have these entities, if they're out there trash talking Trump all day, then why should they continue to support you? I mean, if they have the opportunity to pull your money, they should anyway. By the merit of it alone, they should be able to do that.
Yeah.
That's going on. Hopefully they get that done pretty quick. I know that this is going to be a huge priority for Speaker Johnson. So I think that's going to happen before you know it.
Yeah. And oh, for sure.
Let's just say. All right. Coming up after the break, there's this one story out of Washington, and Reason is covering this, and I haven't seen it covered in a lot of other places. And you read things like this and you think, okay, is this what you stand for? If you're on the left, is this your, I'm going to fight for people like this type of moment? And I really want to know that. And if the answer is no, then why do you do it so often? So we're going to take a break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in 97.1 FM Talk. Brad, what's the name of this song that's playing right now?
I believe it's God's Country by Blake Shelton.
Is that the opposite of what's happening in the chat right now?
I don't know. I think the chat is on fire.
Okay, the YouTube chat is definitely on fire right now. What is going on with the listeners there right now?
Well, there are there are about six different conversations that are all happening at the same time, which is great and it's fun. If you guys are listening now and you want to be part of the YouTube chat, jump on Annie Fry's YouTube page. youtube.com/@AnnieFry, F-R-E-Y is how you spell Fry. Check it out. Yeah. Ender's got it. It's a dumpster fire. There's a lot of conversations.
Someone said, Brad, what's your middle name? And I said, yes. Oh boy, where is this going?
Yes, we've got.
Where is this going? What kind of conversations? It's just, there's a lot of stuff I forget. And one person said, we forgot there's a radio show underway.
Yeah.
Which just happened to be like at the center of their chat right now.
Yeah, they're having their own conversation regardless about what you and I are talking about, which is amazing.
I'm just waving at them. This is so great. Hey, that was me. I love that. The chat is off the chain today is what they're saying. This is fantastic. Why isn't it on the screen? We can't see the chat anymore. I want to make sure I can keep up on the video too. There we go. The little
it'll start popping up now.
Oh, it's going to be flying through here before we know it. All the different chat bots, real people though, but the bot meaning the little box that it's on the screen. All right, I wanted to go through this one story here, and this is from Reason TV, and they just happened to be the first one I saw put it up, and I'm going to read you the headline, Female Nude Spa in Washington. Oh, so boy. I'm going to stop right there. Did you know those exist? I didn't know that was a thing. Like, there's spas where you can go and be nude?
I don't know. The thought of a spa has never appealed to me, but maybe it's like where you go, you get your massages and you do the saunas and they put the cucumbers on your eyes and stuff like that.
I guess I don't really know. to me, it's just a, right there. I was like, well, that exists. That's kind of strange. But I'll read the rest of the article. It says, female nude spa in Washington can't bar transgender clients with male genitalia, the federal court rules. So it's the Olympus Spa argued that they have the ability under the First Amendment, they have their freedom to pick who comes in there or not, meaning that if you're an all-female establishment, that you have this sort of sensitivity considering the nature of bodies, that if you walk in with, you're a guy and you're a male and you have male genitalia and you're walking into an all-female place where you are exposing yourself in front of other women, then that is not for their business. So apparently these creepy dudes with wieners want to walk in and show off what they got to these women. And it's, to me, just so weird and bizarre that number one, that's even allowed. But number two, there's people that look at that and say, this is the way it should be. I almost look at this as harassment in a way, sexual harassment, if you're walking into places like this.
Well, that's the argument. And this is like, people have been saying this for years now, that eventually the courts are going to have to decide on a legal definition of what is a woman. So if you say women only spa, who does that include and who does that exclude? And, you know, I got to say, we got to sort this out, because I'm not saying that every transgender person has a weird things about them, that they're all predators or anything like that. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is by doing this, by allowing people like this to come in, you are creating cover for the ones and the people who are bad people.
If you're going into an all women's establishment and you're exposing your male genitalia to them, that there's inherently something weird, strange, and wrong and should be illegal happening there. However, that's not the case when the federal courts look at this in these very liberal areas, that they will stand up and say that, oh no, this is their legal right to expose themselves in front of these women.
No.
It is, again, this is so strange. I don't know where it goes from there. I know federal courts can bring this up. Is this another Supreme Court case in the making? Because I thought they've already taken things to like the state Supreme Court, just like the baking situation in Colorado. They realized that some of these First Amendment rights, they have the ability and the expression to be able to use their skills in a certain way. And that kind of applies in this way. They should have the ability to, when it comes to their own business, make the definition of biological, and that's who they cater to as part of their business. And so in 2020, this person who identifies as a non-binary trans woman filed a complaint with the Washington State Human Rights Commission after she allegedly, I hate to use pronouns and stuff like this, because we're talking about biological males, and I want to, in cases like this, make sure their sex at birth is identified here, because it very much is necessary in order to talk about cases like this. So after this biological male allegedly was turned away from the Olympus Spa in Linwood, Washington for having a penis, Olympus, which has a location in Tacoma, is a traditional Korean spa that offers full body scrubs and massages, requires nudity in the pool area, and caters to a single sex clientele, meaning biological females. This person went in there, male genitalia, definitely creeped everyone else out. They don't want any of that. And they are right to not want any of that. And some of this could be a cultural thing too, honestly. This is what I wonder. Do you think this would be evenly applied if it was, you know, I know we're talking about Koreans here, but when it comes to the sensitivity with, let's say, Islam or the Jewish faith, and let's say they have similar things where they're not allowed to intermingle with the other sex because of this very thing. If you were to break those type of rules and regulations, do you think that that would be allowed? And should it be allowed? And I think the answer is no. I mean, the same thing. They deserve that protection for their own cultural reasons. And when it comes to the Korean culture, that they shouldn't have to be harassed sexually like this.
Yeah. Yeah. You have every right to have a safe space for yourself. You have every right to have that. And nobody has the right to come in and invade that. I don't understand this. I don't understand this ruling at all.
So what does that mean for schools? And people, when they defend these sort of things, they say, no, they don't want to go for your kids, and it's not like this, and they're not going to go use the showers in a public restroom or a shower in the pool area or whatever it is, or the gym and things. But that's absolutely happening, and this is the type of court rulings that enables men to walk into female locker rooms, expose themselves with zero precaution if they say they identify with a certain way.
Well, I mean, they don't even have to do that. They could just walk in where women should be, where women could be changing and think that they're in a safe spot. And then they are then themselves exposed. Somebody is gawking or looking at them. That's equally as bad.
As in, you have to explain that. What do you mean?
So like if a guy goes into a woman's locker room while women are changing, the women are looking at this locker room as like, this is a place that I can change out of my work clothes into my workout clothes or whatever. It's a safe space. But this court ruling says, actually, guys can come in there now and they can see you changing.
I don't want that, you know, and I think about my wife or my kid and, you know, what happens if they're anywhere where this happens? And I think about my daughter in school. What happens if the school policy she's in would allow biological males with their genitalia exposed to be regular, normal, acceptable behavior in the school that she's going to? You know, and this is not just some, oh, no, this is so rare, it never happens, and you even bring this up as discriminatory, even having these sort of discussions. But these are real-life scenarios that play out and get defended, which don't make sense to me. Mm-hmm. Particularly since the organization themselves don't want this to happen. It's not like they're, you know, a gym and they're like, we're all inclusive, so we're going to allow this and that's going to be our policy. And no, this is an organization that doesn't want to be harassed by these predators that are going out exposing themselves to these other women. And they're trying to stop that from happening, and they're not allowed to stop it from happening.
What's interesting to me is if this were something that was, this is something that the market would decide, you know, people would look at this and if people wanted this to happen, what they would do is they would go to places that allowed for it. And if they didn't want it to happen, they would go to places that don't allow for it. And what you're saying here is the women that don't want to go to a spa where men can come into it will have no place to go because legally you have to let everybody in. That's not right.
Let's look at this too in the sense that When you talk about it, and going back on what you're mentioning there, you talk about how you have the freedom in order to decide if you want to go to that establishment or not. So, okay, I'll just go somewhere else. That philosophy doesn't always work when you're living in a place where you don't have things like school choice, for example. And this is something that the left really fights against, your ability to choose where you send your children to school. So what if there is no other choice and you are literally forced to either pull your kid from a public school and pay 10 grand a year to go to a private school that you can't afford or whatever, because you don't have the choice to go to another school at that point when it comes to the public setting. And you're not allowed to object to this sort of thing because you're looked at as discriminating against that person that wants to expose themselves. It's such a strange thing that we haven't settled this yet. And these are not hypotheticals anymore. These are real life situations that I think a lot of parents worry about that their kids are going to have to grow up in.
Yeah. You don't, school's a great example that you don't have the choice of where to go. If you're going to a public school, you have to go to this certain school. And so you're at the mercy of your school board.
Yeah, I know I know school choice is becoming more and more popular, but I'll tell you what, you know, happens in places like, you know, where a lot of people live, it's a lottery system. So if you're like, okay, I don't want to go to this specific school, I want to send my kid to a better school. So, all right, I'm going to, like, some places, if they don't want to go full blown school choice, they do a lottery system where they accept X amount of kids in certain areas. But then you're at the luck of the draw in some ways to be able to get out of that situation. And then, of course, the accommodations to send it there, meaning you have to go drive your kid further, in which I'm sure a lot of these parents wouldn't mind if it meant their kid was safe in school. But if you're a superintendent and you're a principal or some of these things, how are you not advocating for these girls that are going to get harassed in this way? How are you not standing up for them when all these other things are going on because you're afraid that the woke mob's going to come and try to take your job or whatever? It's a whole different crazy world we're living in. Yeah, you used to be in education. How do you like to deal with this right now?
No.
Washington.
It was something that we were dealing with whenever I was a substitute.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Teacher. It was definitely something that was something that we were dealing with.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you do for PE locker rooms? What about the, because there were students that identified as transgender, and it's like, what do you do with them? How do you do with that? How do you keep the other kids feeling safe while making this person feel comfortable and that sort of thing? And
You know, this kind of plays into it in a way, and you sent this article too. It says, more conservatives than liberals say they have excellent mental health. Do you think there's a correlation here in thinking that one may be a little bit more at peace in their mind than others when it comes to these surveys?
Well, it seems to be that way. According to this, Charlie Kirk shared a screenshot of a table which showed the differences in numbers is 51% of conservatives reported as having excellent mental health, while only 20% of liberals experienced excellent mental health. Nate Silver has an article where he's going through why the Democrats have trouble with young men. And one of the things in that article that he mentions is the mental health thing. And in the poll that he mentions there, the question was asked, were you ever diagnosed by a professional as having a mental disorder? Mm-hmm. And it was, again, it was the same thing. It was a big chunk of liberals were said, yeah, definitely. And conservatives didn't. And it's interesting to see how, you know, the different parties' stances on things lend themselves to people that have and draw people that have different disabilities and that sort of thing.
I'm not always sensitive. I feel like I should be like 75. That should be my real age, the way I just not sensitive at all. Part of me, when I hear survey results like this, the first thing I think of is, okay, what would the argument be on both sides? And I can see one argument saying that conservatives are just more inclined to ignore it and not treat, but they have just as many head issues than anyone else. And I think on the conservative side, I would look at this and say, well, obviously that is the case because you are overly looking for problems where there are no problems. And when you're looking for problems, you're going to find it. Even if they don't exist in your mind, you're going to try to use it as a justification to, I guess, I don't want to use the word justification again. You're going to use it as a way to justify, I guess, some of the ways that you're feeling, because you're always the victim in some way. So you have to enable that in some way or fashion. So the mental side of it is how you do it.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like the attitude toward what government is and what government should be, and how people who vote Democratic tend to be the people that are like, how can we have government fix this issue for us? And then people that are conservative and vote for Republicans, they tend to be the people that are like, just get out of my way and let me fix it. I got this under control. I can handle my own life. I'm willing to take the risk of my own decisions into my own hands, you know, for better or for worse. It's super interesting to see the difference in the two parties that way.
Do you think, too, that there's a lot more undiagnosed mental illness that may be going on when we're trying to justify the actions, like this one case in Washington where there's people defending this individual that wants to expose themselves to women? When you say this is what progression looks like, this is, you know, the modern day liberal movement, this is the things that we fight for. When you're fighting for things like that, does that, to me, I look at that and say, that's like, to me, is mental illness in a way where you're arguing and advocating for those sort of things.
I was going to say,
it might not be fair to say, honestly, right, but it does. I look at that and I say that it has all the traits of it.
Well, it's the value of victimhood, the value that's placed on victimhood, and this desire, like, overly empathetic. You know, I've seen this phrase float around on the internet. It's called toxic empathy, where where you are empathetic, and generally empathy is thought of as something as good, but you're empathetic to the point where what you are going along with to not hurt the other person's feelings or to make the other person feel better is actually harmful, not only to them, but to you and maybe even society around you.
That's interesting. That is very interesting. In some ways, and this probably goes to what you're saying about toxic empathy, in some ways it's like we look at whatever they're carrying, that baggage, as an emotional support animal, and we have to be sensitive that they need that animal, but in reality we're enabling some sort of mental illness. And it happens a lot where we say, it's better for us to acknowledge and enable it than it is for us to diagnose and treat it, because for us to treat it would go against what they believe, and we're not allowed to go against what other people believe, because even though it's different from ours, then we should just allow it to be.
Well, it's really interesting, and I like to use the example of a parent. And Ryan, you've got kids, and have you ever told your kid no and they lost their mind and they melted down?
All the time.
You know, and you tell them no, and the reason you tell them no isn't because you're trying to be mean or isn't because you're trying to do anything. It's because you know what they want in that moment isn't what's good for them. Mm-hmm. But you're willing, because you're a loving father, you're willing to allow them to go through that emotional distress, because the facts of the matter are what's better is better on the other side, and in the long run, this is going to be better for them. I look at a lot of these situations the same way. When you're being toxically empathetic, what you're thinking is I am loving this person, and what you're doing isn't actually loving behavior. Going along with what they want isn't necessarily what's good for people if what they want is self-destructive behavior. You're not loving by doing that. You're not loving by affirming that. What you're doing is you're actually creating a situation where things are going worse for them.
Uh-huh. And there's so much more we can say about that, but I know we have to go to break, and maybe we pick it back up, maybe we don't. But I'm reading some of the comments in the chat, and this is just one of those topics where I know that we're not going to get to an answer in like 15 minutes and during a break or whatever it is. But we look at examples like this just because it's a good reminder of what goes on, and even though it might not be in your world or your life right here where you're at, but this is something that is like a real world consequence that you fight against because you don't want it to happen in your world. You don't want to be confronted with this sort of thing, and especially for your kids. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie Fry. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in You know, with all the talk, the serious talk that we had, I appreciate the YouTube chat, and there's so many comments that are coming in through that. I can tell you what. I feel like we're ready to nuke the ocean floor. Are you ready for that, Brett?
Why not? We've done everything else today.
Let's just nuke the ocean floor. So there was a 1960s, there was a study that looked at the effects of nuclear explosion on the geological materials on the ocean floor. I'm looking at a website, as.com. And a researcher envisions taking a step further and actually using it as a way to save the planet. So they say if you were to drop a nuke and detonate, it would pulverize the basalt that makes up the seabed, and an explosion could accelerate carbon sequestration, which captures and stores carbon dioxide from the atmosphere to reduce climate change. I'm saying that word wrong. Sequestration, though the process known to scientists would be enhanced rock weathering. So what they're saying is there's some good things down there, and if we were to go blow up the good things, it'll be brought up to the surface into the atmosphere, and it could actually have some benefit when it comes to our environments. So why don't we just go down there and just nuke it? Why not? So do you have any objections?
They want to nuke the ocean floor to release what exactly again?
That's unclear to me. Oh, it's the scientific talk here.
The good stuff.
It's carbon sequestration, which would capture and stores carbon dioxide from the atmosphere to reduce climate change. So
it's atoms or molecules or something that bond with carbon that would take CO2 out of the atmosphere? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, neutralizes it or whatever. And that would be able to help our situation so much. Now, keep in mind, we'd be, detonating a nuclear bomb in the water, you know what that has. We've done a lot of different tests. I guess it doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world because we've done a ton of tests with that stuff down there. And every once in a while, our measuring instruments will indicate that some other country did the same thing in some sort of testing. Every once in a while that pops up. But large-scale earth-moving projects like that, you have to have a lot of force, and a great way to have a lot of force is to detonate one of these bombs. Remember when Elon Musk was advocating for setting one of these off on Mars, so you can basically do the same thing. If you were to try to ruffle up some of the different molecular makeup of Mars with a nuclear bomb, then you would be able to speed up the process to build an atmosphere, which would be able to more easily be habitable for humans in the future if you kind of moved them along that way by sending the nukes that far into space. Same idea, essentially. So doesn't it sound like some mad scientist stuff, like Doofenshmirtz would do it?
Absolutely mad scientist stuff.
Isn't it funny that...
I don't know. It's desperation based on stuff that it really doesn't need desperate actions.
Didn't we probably fund that study, I'm guessing, and then we would be the ones to pay for it, too? Now, have we kept in mind that I've seen enough movies? Like, isn't this how Godzilla comes out? Like, it was like basically the giant lizard guy was trapped underneath the ocean floor. We did something in an earthquake, and then next thing you know, Godzilla arises and then destroys humanity, and we don't really have much in the way of protection because it's Godzilla, and it's strong, and it's got fire breath. So we as people need to understand the repercussions of just nuking things willy-nilly may not be a great idea. No. What else is under there that could be, like, released? I mean, there's stuff down there that we don't know about.
Like, isn't, like, methane stored at the bottom of the ocean? Isn't that bad for the environment? I mean, there's so many different things. It's ridiculous. I don't know. It's ridiculous. Okay,
tell me if you would buy into this B-movie plot. So, you know, you've watched Oppenheimer, the big movie that came out, right?
I have not seen it all the way through.
Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Okay, so how could you not see Oppenheimer? That was like the movie everyone saw a couple of years ago. But the idea was, part of the movie is when they were coming up with this idea to build the nuclear bomb, the idea was it could start a chain reaction in the atmosphere that basically burns the whole world. So there was like a scientist theoretically ran the numbers and they were afraid that was a possibility.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so you understand that's a real
life thing.
So you're talking about methane or whatever's down there. What if we hypothetically drop a bomb in the right spot, it ignites it, boom, now the whole core is on fire. it does a chain reaction. And the whole world is like, there's just an absolute explosion everywhere.
Yeah, no. Let's everybody's afraid of nuclear weapons. So let's not use those in the ocean, one of our biggest resources, because you're afraid that there's too much carbon dioxide in the air. You know, there are
there's
other,
not that much, honestly. Like, well, you know what the percentage is in the atmosphere?
I imagine it's not as high as it was in years past. Like, if you go back, you know, whenever the flora and fauna were so big, I would imagine that it's lower than that. I think that.
You Google it.
Yeah.
Because I got a number in my head. I want to make sure I get the right number.
Okay.
It's a real number.
But my point is this, you know, why don't we just worry about planting more green things that can absorb the CO2 rather than trying to set off a nuke at the bottom of the ocean to release something that might grab that stuff?
Okay, so Google's already playing defense because they know where I'm going with this question. They say, despite a small percentage, it plays a critical role. So if you were to guess the concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere, percentage-wise, what would you guess?
Is it less than 1%, 0.5%?
0.042%.
Super low. Not
drop that nuke right now in that water. Quick. I just want to see what happens. But this would be a B movie, wouldn't it? It just like sets off the apocalypse. We just set the world on fire by nuking the ocean floor.
Yeah, it would be like the aftermath of this. It would make a great movie.
The aftermath of this would be a title for that movie. Wouldn't that be a good one too? All right, we got another hour of the Annie Fry Show. And some senators are pushing that they stream C-SPAN on YouTube and other streaming platforms. Would that be a good or bad idea? And let's talk more about the Biden decline. If the audience was different, maybe would they have talked about it more? I guess we'll have to discuss. I'm Ryan Recker. You're listening to the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.